welcome to the Age of Vision radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark, where we learn to accept living in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.tv, we relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We share information about the facts of radiation and the nuclear industry. We discuss vital current events and explore the roots of social engineering that has caused so many of our beloved friends and family to intentionally ignore the most critical, catastrophic event in human history. We interview activists who do the hard work to discover the truth and get the word out. We disclose the NRC's daily nuclear alerts and take phone calls from our listeners in an effort to fully engage on all topics that are changing our world. We explore exactly how radiation affects our bodies and minds to dissipate your fears and face the truth. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. We share information on how to take your life back from the systems intent on enslaving our bodies, minds, and souls. The Age of Vision radio show will create a venue that all will choose in order to actively engage to save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. I'd like to welcome you to our second week of the show. Thank you for listening again. Today is Monday. I will not have guests, nor will I be taking phone calls. I'm going to be talking to you about some ideas that I have. First, I want to share with you some of the things on the what we call the nuclear alerts. And these are the alert current event notifications that the NRC puts out. I think it's very important. I never actually paid attention to them until I started substituting on Kevin's show, The Post-Ignorance Project, which comes on UCY.TV on Tuesdays and Thursdays, also at 8 o'clock to 9 a.m., 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Every Tuesday and Thursday, you can listen to Kevin Blanche. His focus is entirely different from mine, still very valid. He's a really great voice in the anti-nuclear movement. But when I substituted for him, I really had no radio experience. So I thought, okay, what am I going to do? It came to me like 2 days before he went to Europe. He called me up and said, you're going to have to do the show. So logically, I just went to the nuclear NRC. I wanted to find out what was going on. And I was dumbfounded. I mean, I cannot even tell you how stunned I was at the complete lack of information that goes on in the nuclear industry and their lack of complete disregard for the safety elements and for the things that happen within the nuclear industry and their complete whitewashing of the harm that the nuclear industry generates on the on human life and on all life on our planet. After I'm finished with the nuclear alerts, I'm going to breeze through some of the news, and then I'd like to talk to you about some of the social engineering ideas I think that why people are not paying attention to this. So let me get right into it. Today's date is August 10th, 2015, and there were a handful of nuclear alerts. I think there were seven of them. Most of them, on most of these alerts, we often have like damaged moisture density gauge. We had one that said, radiography, I'm just going to read you the headlines of the ones that I'm not going to read because I think that they've been resolved, but this, even the headlines are shocking. Radiography truck with camera stolen and recovered. The thieves departed on scene and were not apprehended. There was no apparent damage to the truck or the camera. Okay, we can live with that. The second event listed is radioactive shipment delivered to the wrong address. Now that inspires confidence, doesn't it? That was considered a Category 3 Category 3, if not safely managed, could cause permanent damage or injury to a person who handled them or otherwise in contact with them for some hours. So this happened from the Washington Office of Radiation Protection, Kleinfelder Inc. That was the licensee, okay? And what they did was they delivered it to the wrong office. They delivered it to the wrong hospital. It was a radiographic. The source was in an unsecured location for approximately 23.5 hours. The source has been recovered by common carrier on July 29th to a clinic of a similar name as the hospital, but at the wrong address. The source was delivered to the therapy department through the hospital's receiving department this morning at 8:30. That makes us feel good, doesn't it? At least they got it through a common carrier. Doesn't that make you feel good that they're shipping radioactive material through a common carrier? Makes you wonder. We also had a damaged moisture density gauge. Oh, I love this one this morning. Inability to retract radiography source. On July 31st, now this is July 10th, and they're telling us about this on July 31st. So there's always going to be a lag. This has been the interesting thing about these nuclear alerts. On July 31st, the licensee was reported a disconnected radiography source at a work site in New Milford Township, Pennsylvania. A secure and restricted area around the source has been established, limiting potential public radiation exposure to below 2 millirems in any 1 hour in an unrestricted area limit. The activity was 68 curies, and it was the source was iridium-192. What shocks me about this is the fact that radiation is cumulative. So, okay, it's an acceptable level if that's the only radiation you're ever going to get. But the people that live in this area in Pennsylvania, New Milford Township, Pennsylvania, are surrounded by nuclear power plants. And every year, those nuclear power plants open up their vents, expose those people to radiation at high levels for 1 week, and then close them back down, or 1 day, I guess that's how long it takes. And that's one of the things I hope to talk to Shane Russell about, is how long does that actually really take? And I consider Shane Russell an expert on this because he has worked in the industry and he does understand it. So let me get back to point. But, I mean, you kind of get the gist on this. Damaged surveillance capsules. Now, this one really shocked me. This happened, oh, wow, April 15th. And they're just now getting around to letting us know. How sweet of them. During Sequoia Nuclear Power Plant Unit 1 end-of-cycle refueling outage, the Tennessee Valley Authority identified that there were unanticipated damage to the S and W surveillance capsules that were located within the reactor pressure vessel. Inspectors determined that the surveillance capsules were not contained within the intact designated baskets. TVA conducted an extensive foreign object search and recovery initiative to recover the specimen capsule prior to concluding the refueling outage. Wow. You know, I'm completely stunned at their complete offhandedness and the newspeak. I mean, I hope that all of you listening have read not only 1984, but have also read Brave New World. Now, when those books were written, they were not meant as instruction manuals to the lunatics running our government or to the crazy people. I mean, the only thing I can think of with the nuclear industry, these people have completely lost their marbles. So they must be on pharmaceuticals all day long just to maintain a level of normalcy. Because anybody with a real heart, an untainted heart without pharmaceuticals flowing through their brain and their body, would be outraged by this type of information. I'm outraged. Outraged enough for me to be willing to do a radio show 3 times a week, poke open this information. And I'm not a nuclear expert. I'm a citizen of the United States of America who believed 100% that our government was actually guarding the nuclear industry from harming us, that we had set up systems to protect ourselves. And when Fukushima happened, again, I'll tell you, I believed that it was that we were fine. It took me a year and a half to really discover that things weren't fine. So let me move on with this because this is just an indication. I mean, I went back and got all of the nuclear alerts for the last week, and that's kind of what I hope to do is breeze through these nuclear alerts every Monday morning for about 15 minutes at the start of the radio show. And then I'll talk about the nuclear news and the social engineering news that I think is really important because we're being spoon-fed inch by inch. That's how you get, this is how abusers condition the victims to just accept their plight. They don't just force it to them like, you know, they're not going to just force it all down our throats. They do it inch by inch by inch. And the only way that we can stand up to it is for us to really decide that we're going to pay attention and we're going to argue. Like my next project, well, once I get my two assignments for my science class done today, will be this petition. And I will be walking the streets of Eugene, Oregon, attempting to get people to sign a petition stating that we do not want them to change the radiation levels to a hormesis basis. That's outrageous. I'll talk about that in a minute. So then we have the event reports for August 7th. And they are, again, they're talking about the same thing. Gauges stuck, things stuck, damaged gauges. What was the one on this? There was one on here that was really stunning on August 7th. I beg your pardon. Radioactive material damage. This is one. The radioactive shipment, again, delivered to the wrong address. Nuclear crane seal pressure, crane, I'm sorry, I beg your pardon. Defects and non-compliance. That's what this was about. Non-functioning emergency sirens. So we have emergency sirens not functioning in Waterford, Louisiana. So, you know, I will go on, and I don't, you know, I hope that give me some feedback in the comments when we post this up onto the YouTube channel. I really appreciate your comments. It'll help us make this radio show much more effective if I can get your feedback and you can tell me what you think works and doesn't work. As I said, this is week two. I think it's very important for us to understand what the nuclear industry is neglecting, how they are softballing the information, and how anybody who looks at this is kind of being conditioned to believe that don't worry, it's all good. It's all really good. It kind of reminds me of that Twilight Zone. I don't know if probably a lot of the young people haven't seen it, but there was a Twilight Zone episode where this little boy named Billy had these superpowers and he could make anything happen. And when he got mad at people, he like blew them up or made it rain or made it snow and he killed everybody. And so the whole family, the whole town was terrified of him. And they'd say, "You're good, Billy. Don't worry. You're really, really good." It was really creepy because Billy had total power. So everyone around him was complicit and was compliant with his desires and whims. And, you know, I mean, what the kid really needed was some serious time out, you know? But I guess they couldn't figure out how to do it. On August 6th, there was nothing other than missing gauges, the usual automatic reactor trip on low reactor coolant flow. I mean, again, that did not happen recently. That happened on what date was it? That was the shocking part about that one. That happened on 8/5. I guess that was pretty quickly reported, so that must not have been very damaging. So I am going to pursue continuing to do these nuclear reports. If anybody has any ideas, please let me know. I'm going to be talking to you today about the social engineering of everything and giving you some ideas. You know, one of the things that I did when I really got actively engaged in paying attention really to politics. Was I got outraged when George Bush stole the election. That's prior to that, I was what I called a D Democrat. I went to the polls, D, 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 D. I was busy, single mom, working my ass off, taking care of two young girls on my own in Los Angeles, barely making a living, and figuring out ways that we could thrive in that environment. George Bush stole the election, and I was dumbfounded that not a single senator would stand up with a black caucus to have it investigated, and that Al Gore just was complicit. Up until that point, I was proud of America. I thought America was just the, like we had the ideal constitution. Our government was pretty much functioning. And in my head, I sort of accepted that Congress went to Washington, D.C. to get rich. They went there and started handing out all the government deals to their friends and family. I didn't object to that too badly as long as things went smoothly. I figured we had the New Deal, the world was good, and everything was great. And then the axe fell. George Bush stole the election, and in my view, they attacked America with their plan of 9/11. The day after 9/11, they rolled out a 1,500-page Unpatriot Act, coerced all the Congress to sign it and put it in force. And here we are 15 years later, living in a police state. And, Dana Durnford actually just got attacked. I mean, I'm hoping, I was not able to get in touch with Dana, but I hope that Dana Durnford, who has a YouTube site called Beautiful Girl by Dana, and his website is called thenuclearproctologist.org. Dana is just a regular person like I am, like all of us, like Kevin. We're just people who have come to this fight to stand up for our world. We're here facing what we had really been, I guess I could say that I was complicit through my silence, through my ignorance. And that, I think that's why I really loved Kevin's message, the post-ignorance message, because I am now post-ignorant. Let me tell you what, I am fully post-ignorant. I have, the blinders have been taken off of my eyes. And while I'm not, I don't think I ascribe to the whole, the world is being taken, I mean, maybe the Illuminati thing is real, but I've always gone on the premise that other people's opinions are not my reality. I grew up in a pretty severe environment as a child. My parents had emotional problems, and I had to learn to deal with crazy early on. And I was able to thrive beyond that. So I really believe that no matter who has power, we can always take it back and we can transform it into a life of good. And I believe that that actually continues in this whole nuclear arena. The nuclear liars and the nuclear propagandists have had 70 years of building a mountain of 70 years of lies. And what's happening, Fukushima was just the beginning of the collapse of the nuclear industry because the weight of their lies is going to collapse the industry because, let's just face it, nu the nuclear cartel. The whole nuclear industry has done nothing but lie, and all of these nuclear power plants are falling apart. They're failing and ailing. So the nuclear industry, the NRC thinks that they can, oh, just rearrange the standards for which we measure nuclear radiation and everything will be just fine. What they seem to forget is that the animals are going to die, human beings are going to die, and life on this planet is going to be unsustainable. And that kind of brings me around to this idea. Because this morning, when I got up, I get up early before the show to kind of research the most current information on nuclear industry and from the nuclear industry. And I was, I go to thehill.com to get a lot of my, the, what they call, I guess that's called the establishment news, because I think it's important to watch the establishment news because that's where the nuclear liars start regurgitating everything. And also, I do encourage you to go and watch the lies being propagated by thehill.com. And it's a sponsored link called America's Nuclear Future on thehill.com. It's sponsored by whom? By the nuclear industry. And if you click on that link, I personally can't stomach it. I talked to you about it last week. There is not much I can stand worse. Those people, just to listen, it looks like they're having interviews. They look like journalism articles, but it's all just nuclear propaganda. So I just went to the Hill this morning and I went to the section on policy and I went to the energy and environment page. And on this page, it is freaking stunning how, like, this is the first title on the thing. EPA triples Colorado River spill estimate. The whole article is about how they believe that much 3 million gallons of mine waste have been poured into the Colorado River. Climate fight shifts to the court. Keystone builder quietly making plans for Obama rejection. Senators seek longer comment on mining ruling. Petroleum refineries running at record level. Shell to leave ALEC over climate change stance. EPA blamed for mine waste spill in Colorado River. Do you get the tone of this whole thing? It's almost as if the people who produce the energy for our country and for the world have totally given up any desire for safety. They are so arrogant, they have no regard. And when I was reading all these various articles, so I left the page open with just the headlines, and I'm not going to read any of them. It kind of occurred to me that perhaps what's happened here is the gloves are off now that Fukushima happened. We have three nuclear power plants in complete meltdown and probably in melt-through where it's completely uncontainable. They have told us straight up it's going to be at least 40 years, which means probably it's going to be at least 200 or 300 years. Well, I guess if you go by the 90% rule, you take that 40 years and multiply it by 90, and that's how long it's going to be, at least several hundred years before they know what to do at Fukushima. And by that time, the entire planet would have been poisoned by the nuclear fission that's going on there. So I think it's up to us to demand that these people, the people who have the power, the people who have the ability, I don't believe that we're going to force them into getting legislation. I think what we will be doing is waking them up, like Gina McCarthy. She sits in the background behind Moniz. And if you've ever seen Energy Secretary Moniz and you hear him talk, he sounds like he's a reasonable guy. But then you recognize that he's out there promoting nuclear energy. And they sit on these pinnacles and believe that they really are the priesthood over the whole world right now. And that's the arrogance that's going to make them all collapse. Unfortunately, we need them. We need those people to help us figure out solutions because they're the scientists who comprehend the science to figure things out. And that really what we have is a lack of science, and that's what's harming our planet is we have scientists who call themselves scientists who do not even consider. It doesn't even enter into their heads to consider that what they're doing is actually harming the planet. They are so arrogant, they believe they're going to find out just in the nick of time, or that they don't dare tell people what's going to happen because they're afraid of panic in the street. And well, they should be. However, I think that we don't need to panic. Part of what's happening is we have a culture where people are being socially engineered to live in panic and in a state of fear. I read this book by Naomi Klein a few years ago called The Shock Doctrine, The Rise of Disaster Capitalism. And you can go and read it. It's kind of a thick book, and it really does talk about how it's all been designed. How this whole thing is based on lies. The whole thing, the Fed, and there's a lot of angry people on this, and many people listening to this radio show have read this book and understand the concepts. And I'm reviewing it just for those who have never heard of it or don't hear of it. But the reason that I'm here is actually to offer solutions and to help people figure out what they can do. And one of the things that I believe that we really, really can do is improve our own sense of well-being. And that means, basically just changing your internal dialogue. One of the books that I read all the time is this book by, in fact, it's a philosophy book. It's written by Don Miguel Ruiz. It's called The Four Agreements, and it's based on the Toltec civilization. It's their book of wisdom. And I will bring this up again and again. And I actually mail this book out to anybody who wants it. And I am willing to spend the money and give it to people because I think we really do need to reprogram our brains. We need to really stand up to what we're being told is normal. We have an EPA who they stand there feeling guilt-ridden. And it's kind of shocking. It's actually really shocking that we have a society where people are just willing to live in guilt. and instead of responsibility. You know what? One of the things I learned a long time ago was a phrase that says, blame looks backwards, responsibility looks forward. And that's kind of been my mantra. I have been extremely picky about words, and anybody who talks to me will know that. I really believe we need to eliminate the word try from our vocabulary, because trying allows you to fail. And we really need to learn how to manage the onslaught. I mean, like, it is a daily onslaught of hate that goes on all around us, at least in America. I mean, we are being ripped apart by the social engineers and people, and, you know, and then we go to the doctor and we're being given drugs that affect our bodies. They dull our senses, they shut down our intestines, and we sludge through life, you know, to the point where we feel like, you know, if you're 50, you feel like you're old. When actually we have done everything in our culture to extend life on our planet. You know, we've done everything to like make people be able to live longer. But what kind of life is that if you are 60 years old and taking 14 drugs every single day? I read an article about a year and a half ago that said the average American over 60 takes 13 drugs just to stay and be healthy. My own dad takes 15. I couldn't believe it when he told me that. I about fell over. I think that's such disrespect to the whole human species. You know, we need to really think about what happens and how these things happen. This business about the energy, that we need all this energy there, all these things, it's completely unnecessary. You know, last night or over the weekend, Bernie Sanders came to Seattle, and I will tell you straight up, I'm a big Bernie Sanders supporter, because he is kicking the establishment in the teeth with his words of let's reinstate the New Deal. They have spent the last, since the New Deal was signed, the people against the New Deal have gone after the New Deal, and they have effectively killed it. You know, they are working on it. They're working really hard to just turn us into a slave labor nation, which we're pretty close to that, but we're not really there. Some people complain and call us slaves. We're not slaves. We get paid money to go to work. There's nothing wrong with hard work. And frankly, many of you know this, but my real job, the work that I do during the day, I'm an enrolled agent, and I help people with very severe tax problems. I don't know how I do that. I always say that God picked me for this, because I worked in a law office just as a secretary. I found it really fascinating to read the Internal Revenue Manual. I got an interest in it, got my license. I continued to work for him. And then once I got licensed how outrageous this attorney was, I had to jump off the boat and start my own business. And I've been on my own ever since. But it really has made me really look at our culture. This is why I'm actively engaged, because I help people in a forum, in a way, just to protect them. But I believe in our country still, and not just our country. I believe in us as a human race. Like, I believe humanity has the capacity to overcome the pressure that we have put ourselves under by just folding in and leaving it up to the powers that be, by ignoring all of the signs of abuse that have been happening all around us. The thirst for energy is insane and insatiable. And we don't need that much energy. I just spent a weekend up at Crater Lake here in Oregon, camping out, and we lived on kind of a minimal thing. Last weekend, we were out at the Redwoods. And you begin to realize that what we did was we killed civilizations that had the capacity to live in harmony with Mother Earth, that had the capacity to live in harmony with what was going on the planet. What our current culture has done is convinced us that we need electricity, or at least the nonstop, completely unsustainable, convinced us that we cannot live, that we don't deserve to have hardships. Hardships aren't the worst thing in the world. Living without electricity is not the worst thing in the world, as billions of people on this planet have found out. We in America have taken it so for granted that we can turn on a light switch. And in America, we actually have slipped into being a third world nation just from our own ignorance, just from our own decision to give it up. I mean, we have completely ignored our responsibility as citizens to the United States of America. How many people know their senators? How many of them know their congresspeople, their mayor? I cannot urge this enough for people to get actively engaged. Dip your toe in. Once you start dipping your toe in, then you can get used to the water and you can, there's no way to start but by starting. I mean, you have to take that first step, and it is scary. And we live in a world where people go, well, I don't want the government tracking me. Well, guess what? The government already tracks you. It's happening. There is no taking that part back. Like, we're in a world of information age. We now have a technology where they can, like, look in your house if they want to, send up something and look right in your house. In the United States of America, part of the Unpatriot Act is they have those sneak and peek laws where they can go into your house now if they want to, look around, and actually pull something out and, indict you for it. So we're not living in a country that was based on the Constitution that we had. We're living in a country where we've given up our authority to the capitalists, to the energy industry. And this is why if you go to the Hill and look at energy and the electricity, it's stunning the lack of disregard for our planet. We have senators right now fighting back against climate change rules. Senators who believe that that's okay if we spill oil and mine debris into the Colorado River because eventually the earth will absorb it and it'll be just fine. And if it kills off a few hundred thousand people, that's not that big of a deal because there's just too many people anyways. Which is ironic that they have that idea because these are the same rats that want to take away rights for women to control their families and abortion rights. And I'll just tell you this straight up too. I am a big pro-choice proponent. A fetus cannot sustain itself outside of the womb, whereas those people who are anti-choice are usually pro-war, which to me does not make sense. Because, I don't see people posting pictures of, babies who have been ripped apart by war, or old people who have been ripped apart by war, and calling that murder. War is actually murder. War is murder. And this is why we have PTSD. On our camping trip, one of my classmates is an older guy, 62 years old, studying at the Culinary Arts School here in Eugene, and he had to take this science class to get his degree. He was a Vietnam veteran, and he said, I still, he goes, you're a young kid, you get thrown into war, you have to do horrible things, and you have to just decide that you're going to live with it, and it never goes away. And he said he feels sorry for those guys who just can't get over it. And we had another young veteran from Afghanistan who was with us. He was a younger man, probably in his mid-30s. Seemed okay. He's recuperated. I think last week I talked to you about another gentleman who had a blown up leg and was in bits. He was unable to join us because he was in so much pain he couldn't come out to Crater Lake. He had to go to the hospital. So this other gentleman that was with us out at Crater Lake. And I didn't know that he was a, neither of these, I didn't know either of these gentlemen had ever been to war. And they both talked about it. Now, the guy from Iraq, it was so fresh, he still has PTSD symptoms. Like, he can't drive in a car with anybody else. He has to have control of his car. Otherwise, he said he starts hearing voices and he starts seeing flashbacks. He gets in such a state of panic that he just freaks out. So he always has to drive his own car. This is the secret of war that happens. And this is all social engineering to teach us that war is okay, abortion is bad. I mean, what we're talking about is up and up is down and down is up. And it's okay if we just, we look at somebody like Gina McCarthy, who we really believed was going to help us and help us in the fight. She went to Washington, D.C., and summarily, Cade, you can look at her face when she's in front of a congressional hearing and know she is not happy. She knows she's complicit, which leads me to believe that all these people are being coerced. All of them are being coerced. I think the death threats are abounding in Washington, D.C. The social engineering is abounding. This weekend, Bernie Sanders was in Seattle and was shut down by Black Lives Matter. Who funds Black Lives Matter? George Soros, which I don't really have an opinion on George Soros that I'm not going to talk about publicly, but I don't think he's the monster that the world presents him to be. But you know who he funds? He funds Hillary, Monsanto, Westinghouse, Clinton. So do you think it's an accident that these girls stood up on stage and shut down a presentation to 28,000 people? I don't think it was an accident, folks. I think it was an intentional sabotage by Hillary, Monsanto, Westinghouse, Clinton. The establishment Democrats are not interested in democracy. The establishment Democrats are just as bad as the establishment GOP. In that debate the other night with the Dumb and Dumberer show on the Republican airwaves, Ron Paul's son, got 1% of the talk time. 1%. And why? I mean, not that I'm a Rand Paul, don't get me wrong, in any form or shape, I am not at all a Rand Paul proponent. I think he's a Republican, which means he's committed to lying at whatever cost. And in fact, he's actually stated that publicly, that he manipulates facts just to get his point across, that he will lie no matter what just to get his point across. And frankly, I honestly do not believe that's the way to build a country. And I don't believe it's a way to build any relationship. You can't manipulate facts. You can't tell somebody a little tiny lie because it's not that big of a deal because it doesn't matter. It does matter. Words matter. Which brings me back to the Four Agreements. I was raised a Catholic, and I really believe that it matters what we say and what we do. And the first agreement in the Four Agreements is be impeccable with your word. And it doesn't mean just don't lie. It also means don't manipulate. It also means don't talk bad about people. It also means don't talk bad about yourself. Because we cannot generate a positive outcome through negativity. It's two negatives don't make a positive in the world of social engineering. Two negatives will actually bring you down. It's crabs in a bucket. I don't know if you guys know that phrase called crabs in a bucket, but anybody who knows me, I use it frequently when it comes to when I tell, like especially when I talk to young people. Sometimes you have friends who are like crabs in a bucket, and it's best just to get away from them. Crabs in a bucket, if you've ever gone out on the bayou, you dig your crabs up, the small buckets are out of the bottom. The big crabs want to escape. They're strong enough to get out of the bucket to thrive. And the little crabs grab their heels and pull them back in. So sometimes I'll just say that phrase, crabs in a bucket. And really, that's where we're at. And that's where we're at with the energy industry, who is actually controlling our government. And, it sounds to me like actually probably they're being run by the bankers, the people who funded it all and started it all, the social engineering that happened on large scale at the beginning of the last century when the Industrial Revolution happened. And for the first time, we had these big, gigantic robber barons, like massive amounts of money being created by a hand, more than just the Queen of England and the royal elites. We had private industry really creating massive amounts of wealth. One of the things that changed me in my life was I read a book called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And in that book, he really teaches people about what real wealth means. It's not about just making money, it's about real wealth. A lot of these self-help books use their basic fundamental philosophies from that book. That's a book I actually really do recommend. I used to mail it out all the time. But the reason I stopped sending that out to people and encouraging them to read it is the word money has so many emotional issues tied around it and wealth. That, the whole idea, think and grow rich. When I say the word rich, every single person listening to this message envisions a different thing about what rich means. So a lot of people would not read the book and they wouldn't grasp the concepts. But that book actually fundamentally changed my life. And frankly, it was one of the books in the library that I read at my boss's office, my very first boss when I first came back to California with my two children. I was in an office working in an insurance office, slaving away as a secretary for $11 an hour, working as a waitress at night. And I didn't have enough money to go out with people and eat lunch. So I read that book, Think and Grow Rich, and I implemented the changes, and it manifested in various ways so that here I am 30 years later in my own business, a thriving business, helping people and helping people not just resolve their tax issues, but resolve a boatload of other issues also. So I think it's really important for us to consider how we got to this position and not just be angry and not just, like I said, blame looks backward, responsibility looks forward. What are we going to do? How are we going to be responsible citizens to make the change that we need to change? One of the things that I do on a regular basis is I read poetry because I think poetry and reading is one of the best things that we can do for ourselves. There's been some talk about how education doesn't matter anymore. Well, that again is part of the social engineering to demean education because our civilization is collapsing. We're at the precipice of the civilization collapsing. A thriving civilization does not underfund education. A thriving civilization does not underfund taking care of its poor and elderly and the children. So that these are signs that we're living in a system that is fundamentally collapsing around us. Unfortunately, because of the energy industry and their complete disregard for science and their complete disregard for life on this planet, they are really literally not only destroying the civilization, it appears through scientific evidence that they're destroying life on the planet. The ocean is sick. You can go to E&E News any day of the week and see these confounding stories and reports. Scientists are scratching their head, wondering how come the ocean is dying, while they're ignoring the fact that Fukushima is spewing radiation into the Pacific Ocean at rates that this world has never seen. It is, I mean, beyond anger making. I understand why people get angry. My message here on the Age of Fission radio show is for us to use that anger in a positive way. And to remember that this is the human condition. This is stuff that we have had to confront from 10, 15,000 years, as long as we've had the current human history. I sort of am of that mindset that is that we have actually come to this planet before. We have been here before. And I sort of believe that we have actually had nuclear before. I mean, there's been some evidence that there was a nuclear power station in Africa that they dug up. So, I did want to share with you this morning a poem by Lao Tzu, and it's from a book called The Way of Life. Now, Lao Tzu was an ancient philosopher who was, they don't really know, he was born so far long ago. This is what they say. It was really interesting. They say he was immaculately conceived to a shooting star, carried in his mother's womb for 62 years, and born, it is said, white-haired in 604 BC. He became, in due time, the keeper of imperial archives at Luoyang, an ancient capital in what is now the Chinese province of Honan. So I'm not so sure there's a lot known about his history, but he was very instrumental in the Chinese world. But when I read this, I could not believe it. I've had this book for several years, and I read it on a regular basis, all the poems. They're quite inspiring. But I'm going to read to you this one called, it does not have a title, but it is written by Lao Tzu many years ago, and it may dumbfound you as it did me. It is better not to make merit a matter of reward, lest people conspire and contend. Not to pile up rich belongings, lest they rob. Not to excite by display, lest they covet. A sound leader's aim is to open people's hearts, fill their stomachs, calm their wills, brace their bones, and so to clarify their thoughts and cleanse their needs that no cunning meddler could touch them. Without being forced, without strain or constraint, good government comes of itself. So, I found that very inspiring. Think about this. That was written at least 2,500 years ago. People have forgotten the multitude of very valuable human history that we have. And the reason I share that with you comes back to the idea about our education. I think I shared with you last week that I went back to school when I was 57. While I was busy being a single mom, I refused to go back to school when my kids were little because I didn't want the debt. I mean, again, that's part of the social engineering in America, to keep people from getting an education. So if education was not valuable, do you think that the people who are socially engineering America to dumb down America would keep people out of getting an education? I mean, it's really astounding. Education really does matter, and education is going to be the key. Humans have an incredible capacity for love, for ideas, for thoughts, for feelings. And I think that as a human species, we're growing to see beyond our own species. There's many people who really believe that maybe the whales are much, much smarter than humans, and that mushrooms are an incredible computer that communicate with all the other plants and help them figure out what they want, that there is an intense higher intelligence, not just in the human species, but in plants and in the other animal species. And so we kind of have this interesting dichotomy in our world right now, where we have the weight of this incredible collapse pressuring us down, and we're expected to just slough it off and push past it to create these incredible solutions, and my theory, my idea, and this is why I have to say I really appreciated the idea of the Post-Ignorance Project. Because in the Post-Ignorance Project, it's about human beings recognizing that we don't know. We have been conditioned to accept exactly where we're at. And the anger and the rage that comes from it is actually healthy in a way. But at a certain point, with the anger and the rage, it's important for us to move beyond it, because at a certain point, it starts to eat us from the inside out. There's a really incredible book by Louise Hay. And she wrote this book called You Can Heal Your Life. There's another little book that she wrote called You Can Heal Your Body. The fundamental basis of that is that the ailments that we get, each of us get different ailments. We're all exposed to the same toxins. But for some reason, some of us get different ailments than others. And that has to do with our emotional well-being. So a person who has, for example, I had arthritis when I was younger. And arthritis, as it turns out, is produced by extreme self-criticism and not feeling loved. So there's affirmations that you can say that will help your healing. Now, it's not the only thing you need to do if you're going to get over arthritis. You need to be drinking apple cider vinegar every single morning or three or four times a day. You need to be keeping yourself off of all chemicals and pesticides. You need to walk every day. My doctor told me to stop eating meat while I was getting well. I refused to do it during those days. It took me 2 or 3 years to get over it. I think it took me a little bit longer because I didn't comply with what he told me to do. I was very resistant, but I did get over it. And the affirmations did, I believe that they helped me. Now, it wasn't just because I changed my diet and I changed everything else. I changed who I saw myself as. I saw myself as a participant in the world. And I think that's a huge factor. What's going on in our culture is people feel so disenfranchised. And I think that we need not to beat ourselves up over that one. We have been socially engineered to believe that we mean nothing, that we are insignificant nothings, which is why I can't wait. I hope that Dana Durnford will come on, because Dana Durnford has, through crowdfunding, gotten a little boat together and has gone up the west coast of Canada, a specific small little 800 kilometers, I think he said. And he's taking photos of what's happened to the Canadian shorelines and what's happened up there to the wild, to the sea life, and what's going on. And it is shocking that the amount, the devastation from Fukushima, because his idea was to confront the nuclear industry with facts, which we can get all the facts in the world, but they don't really care. I still support Dana's efforts, though. And Dana went out for a final. He was going to go out for another run to finish up the journey that he attempted. He started, I think, last spring. The weather's gotten really bad. He had to come back in, and he went back out. And he went back out recently, and now he has people following him. He has his boat got slashed. Things are happening to him that are very frightening. I mean, he's a disabled person. He got injured. He was a, this is my understanding. We'll let him tell it when he comes on the radio show. He was a deep sea diver who, I guess, got the bends and spent a long time in the hospital bed and, recuperating from having been severely ill. Got his life back together, and then Fukushima happened. And as he began, like me, to investigate, you get filled with this like anger, like you just like what you go. It's that, I call it a Scooby-Doo moment where you're like, like really? They're really doing this to us? Like for real? So his idea, and he put it into action, was to go and take photographs of this thing. He got some crowdfunding, got a little skiff, and it's hard. He's been up there in the hard weather, the hard rain, and the fact that he's being attacked, physically attacked, means that he must be making a dent in the truth, because he's uploaded thousands and thousands of videos onto his website called thenuclearproctologist.org, and he's been a really great proponent of it. And many of you know that I started with Kevin Blanch. I actually helped Kevin get the Post-Ignorance Project off the ground. I asked Kevin to come to Eugene, Oregon, to give a presentation on March 3rd, 2000. I beg your pardon, March 13th, 2013, and he came here and he gave his presentation. He got some people that were very interested. Some people were really resistant because he speaks plainly. He told some of these peace activists that they failed, which I agree with. They didn't exactly fail, though. They just stopped. They got a half a piece of the pie, and they took one bite out of it. And instead of finishing the job, they got lazy, I think. I don't know what it is. They made themselves feel good. I can't figure it out. Like the Fukushima Hiroshima, the Hiroshima Nagasaki group here in Eugene, they refused to get involved in the Fukushima fight. Completely, 100% will not do it. And I consider that a failure. They think that it's too political. I don't know how you can consider the destruction of Japan a political event. So, but back to Kevin's fight with the Post-Ignorance Project. Kevin has his own style of presenting his message. And I still encourage, I still think that Kevin has some value in what he does. And I think he's actually really great. Many of you know that I supported him and paid for his trips. I paid for his trip to Europe and every single event that he went to. And the reason is because Kevin was willing to go out and protest and be in these people's face. And he has done that. He does know a lot about the, he's a nuclear victim himself. He survived AML leukemia. His dad was a nuclear veteran. There's probably millions of people like Kevin. And so we have one Kevin who's willing to stand out and stop, speak out. And the point of this radio show is to encourage people who have been nuclear veterans as dads and who have had AML leukemia or had breast cancer or have survived any type of cancer to think beyond the box and not just go, oh, it's because I smoked cigarettes or, oh, it's because I, we don't know what happened and I don't know why I go. No. There is a reason why we're getting these diseases, and frankly, most of it relates back to the energy industry. If not the nuclear cartel, the coal industry, the mine industry. And if you look into the mining and the coal, the contaminants are pretty close to the same. The difference with the nuclear, which is why I believe that it's like the most catastrophic event that's ever happened, is that nuclear fission just keeps growing. It's like an infection that doesn't ever go away that you can't stop. And it is killing the krill. It's killing the Pacific Ocean. And the world is just picking their noses, acting like it's no big deal. They talk about we're going to stop nuclear wars. Well, we have a nuclear war going on in Japan right now, folks. There is a nuclear war. The war is called Fukushima Daiichi. There are three nuclear power plants in complete meltdown. In fact, in fission state, and two others, three others that we have got no clue what it's really about. That one where the number four, where they, there was an article last week that said the nuclear power plants are sinking. Well, we already knew this 2 years ago that number four was listing by 36 inches. That's why they put those little covers around it to make it look like it's all good and well. Don't worry. That's why they had the media go in there and spread their propaganda like they're actually removing the spent fuel rods. What a joke. They're not removing jack. They're moving pieces of debris. That's what they're doing. So I think it's really important for us to take this whole conversation back, to take back our humanity, to remind us that love is greater than fear, that we can thrive in the age of fission. We don't just have to survive and slug along, but it requires that we find our courage feet. We figure out a way to get through it. You know, there's many people listening to the sound of my voice that are on what, high blood pressure medication, right? Well, there's a lot of evidence that shows that you can take red rice yeast tablets and wean yourself off those medications. But do the pharmaceutical industry want us to know about that kind of stuff? No. Do they want to hear about people like me who basically cured myself of arthritis at 40 years old? No. I go to school with people who are like, ugh, I have this, I have that. And I tell them that there's ways that you can do it. You can take your life back. There are alternative healers. And in my view, they are not alternative healers. They are people who basically, you know, they're the real healers. Those are the real doctors. Those are the people who really understand health and well-being based on ancient knowledge. You know, most of us know that we have pharmaceuticals based on ancient history, on the ancient medicine. And what they did was we all became assets on a balance sheet. So I see that we have just about 4 minutes coming on here, folks. And I want to be able to wrap this up with a bit of encouragement and encourage all of you to take your lives back. There's a really great book that will teach you how to get your health back. And it's called Healthy Healing by Dr. Linda Richter Page. If you were to buy it new, it's like $46 or $47. I don't know about you, but many of us can't afford a $50 book. However, you can go to abesbooks.com and buy that same book for $10 or $12. For $20, you can have the 12th, 11th, and 12th edition. I think she has a 14th, 15th, and 16th edition that are brand new. But in that book, it will show you how to take your life back. That book taught me, and you know, it helped me get over kidney stones about 15 years ago when I first found it. And frankly, never had another kidney problem ever again. And it really did learn help me heal. Find alternative healers in your industry. Myofascial therapy is a type of therapy that will heal you. Kinesiology is a type of therapy that will heal you. Some chiropractors are really great. So we live in the age of fission where it's really important for us to figure out how to live outside the lies and the propaganda that we have been led and fed to believe are the only truth there is. And the reality is, we are living inside of a box, and there's a whole world outside the box. And there's a world of living and thriving and humanity and joy. Part of Kevin's trip in Europe, when he was in Europe, he was dumbfounded at how free the Europeans were because, you know, their governments actually protect them from GMOs and mega sourcing of chemicals. You know, they still have a way of life where they go out walking and they sit and have coffee. They start work late. They end late. They don't work as much. They get paid a month of vacation for free. They get a paid month of vacation in most of those countries, or at least 2 weeks. That's mandatory. So I see we're heading into it. And I just encourage everyone to please put your comments on our link at the UCY TV YouTube channel. Give me.